They're checking cherubim pots by torchlight down the daily. Chatter boys are tying paternosters at Cullen Bay. Tinnies are being towed to Target on the Arnhem Highway. Over in Gove, they're rigging up teasers for the big boys. There's an air of anxious optimism at harbourside boat ramps in the pre-dawn gloom. And in the suburbs, Smith.
What?
Moore.
What? What?
Get out of bed and get on with it.
G'day fishos, and welcome aboard the virus-riddled virtual vessel we call Tales from the Tinny. On a very auspicious morning, as the Tinny A-Team is triumphantly reunited on the broadcasting deck. It's been a tough couple of months, the whole crew very nearly succumbing to a virulently aggressive strain of tropical pilchard flu. The medical prognosis was not good. The fat lady was going la 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 la. We were placed on the endangered species list, and the mob here in the office were running a book on our actual extinction date. But we defied the odds and the weight of medical opinion with a sheer, gritty determination to survive. We waded unfazed through knee-deep rivers of snot and phlegm, laughed derisively at the face of raging fever, pugnaciously punched through the pernicious pain barrier of crippling migraine, guffawed as the lung-wrenching coughs racked our wretched frames, and we survived to tell the tale. The tale from the Tinny. G'day, I'm Robert Smith. Now, I mentioned the A-Team earlier. Now, I'm giving myself a solid A-plus in this regard, but here's a bloke who really only rates a C, but for the purposes of this tortured metaphor, we're going to give him an A-. G'day, Timothy Moore.
G'day, Rob. A-Team would have to stand for the A in absolutely hopeless or unable to catch a fish, or perhaps that other word that starts with A and ends with hole.
Oh, thank you very much.
You know the one, la 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 la. It was almost there, wasn't it?
It was.
While everyone else was getting crook, most were getting crook, I was actually out fishing, Robert.
Were you?
Holding up my end for Tales from the Tinny.
I thought you were in the bed wheezing with the rest of us.
Yeah, it was pretty touch and go there for a while, wasn't it? One of our regular listeners, Glenn Hubble, who you might have heard on the Tinny before, we were talking last week about how to plug the numerous leaks in the Tinny. He suggested we just jam a mullet head in the hole in the Tinny. There I was getting a mullet up ourselves.
There was doctors suggesting that to me might be the only just jam a mullet in your hole. It can't hurt.
8:05 on Tales from the Tinny. Good morning and welcome, and great to have you back, Rob.
And a very big thank you, of course, to all the varied myriad chaps who filled the holes with their own pilchards while we were away.
Lots coming up this morning. John Colson will join us in a moment to talk us through the Kakadu billabongs. Rob, obviously being the dry season, it's hard work, but if you're heading out there and you want to take the pick of them, it's reasonably windy this weekend and big tides, so maybe that's your option. It's probably going to be 2 and 4 mile hole on those alligator billabongs, which are bringing the best reports. We'll take you out to Gove too, where the fishing's firing up with lots of tuna. And down to Dundee, big comp on this weekend, Rob. I heard there was, I didn't confirm this, but I heard there was a grand on offer for the first sailfish boated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's lots of money going on with that comp, so I imagine they'll be lining up pretty shortly with double tractor action, putting them all in. We'll take you down there before 6 this morning. Don't forget, as per the usual, 1300 mullet. 1300 mullet is the number to call if you want to let us know where you're heading or put a question to any of our guests this morning, or you can flick us a text on 1-999-1057.
Let's have a look around the harbour. The Bureau is expecting easterlies at 10 to 15 knots, increasing to 15 to 20 in the late morning with early in the early afternoon. A northerly afternoon sea breeze at 15 with seas to 1.5. The Sunday outlook, easterly winds at 10 to 15 and an afternoon sea breeze. I was doing the round of the boat ramps yesterday, Timothy, and even right up until mid-morning, it was beautiful and glass.
Oh, not
if you wanted to head somewhere.
Till mid-morning. Yeah, my brother rang last night, late last night, woke me up at 10:30 and said, I've got a couple of options in the morning. I've got a 2-hour window over that high tide. I recommended Lee Point, Rob.
And
have a look for tuna between sort of the bottle washer and the mouth of Shoal Bay.
Yep.
from the high tide moving down. Heard varying reports about the tuna pods out there, not a heap, but a few mackerel around and some people doing okay over the bottle washer. Just some of the spots we've got to get through this morning. That weather's not too flash, though. More from the Bureau at half past. To the tides, they're big. Rob, they're massive. In fact, 7.6 high at half past eight this morning, moving down to a low of about 1.3 at 20 to 3. Thank you, Rob. 7.5 tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, moving down to a 1.2 low at about half past three.
Not too bad if you want to sit out over the afternoon, but if it lumps up ugly, it could be a bumpy trip on the way home. Your tales from the tinny. It's 11 minutes past five. Here's Marvin Gaye. Sounds like your place, Tim. On a Friday night.
Party time!
When you should be getting some Betty Buys and some shut-eye for the tinny.
That's why I'm a bit dusty this morning.
105.7 ABC Darwin, 783 Alice Springs. Marvin Gaye. It definitely does sound like your place on a Saturday night, Timothy.
Bloody oath, mate. 1300 Mullet is the number to call this morning, which is 1300 685 538. Why not give away a T-shirt this morning, Rob, I reckon? A Your Tackle Matters T-shirt to the first fish boated this morning. If you happen to be driving out to a place where you're going to have range, or maybe you've got, you know, a doof-doof stereo or a tranny in the boat this morning, don't care if it's even a pilchard or a mullet in the cast net. First fish aboard at Your Tackle Matters T-shirt, but you'll have to call us and we verify.
A pilchard? No,
yeah, why
on.
Not?
What? No, we've got to draw the line here.
Okay, not a pilchard, mullet.
No, what? Yeah, how do you catch a mullet?
In the cast net. Low tide's coming up today. You might be live baiting somewhere in a little harbour hole.
As long as it's blurred so that we can see that it's actually alive.
Yeah, we need to hear the flop, flop, flip, flop, splash, splash on the line. 1300 Mullet. Or flick us a text, 1999 1057, Your Tackle Matters T-shirt for the first fish aboard this morning at 5:15 on Tales from the Tinny.
On 105.7 ABC Darwin, 783 Alice Springs, nabc.net.au/tinny. Slog on and have a look on the webcam as I did last week. You'll be pleased to know that I've got my full dinner suit on this week. And Tim is au naturel.
Hi, I'm Kelly from Rapid Creek. Last Wednesday afternoon, I came home from work about 5:30 to discover that our boat had been taken from underneath our apartment. The chain had been cut. We had some friends visiting at the time. They were actually upstairs, but we're on the top floor, so they wouldn't have been able to hear or see anything. But they said the boat was there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was gone by 5:30.
And what was the reaction of you and hubby?
Well, my partner was away. He was away at an Aboriginal community. My automatic reaction was to call his brother. He often borrows the boat. I think I knew he hadn't borrowed it because the chain was cut, but I called him hoping he would say, yeah, I've got
you'd
it.
You'd be hoping your partner's brother didn't borrow it with bolt cutters.
With bolt cutters, but some part of me just wanted him to say, yeah, I've got it, but of course he didn't. He came around and we called the police and put a report in, and that's about as far as we've got. I don't think we'll ever see it again.
It's an awful thing, isn't it?
It is terrible. And I actually spent a lot of time getting the boat just how we like it. We've had a lot of work done on the trailer, and my partner spent a lot of time and money, I guess, on fixing it up, and we just got the boat how we like it all set up. It seems to take a long time to do that, so it's a real shame.
Now, luckily, I believe you were insured.
Yes, we were, luckily, so we're on the hunt for a new one at the moment. But you never find one exactly how you put all the time into getting them exactly how you like, so it's very disappointing.
Now, while this pain is still fresh and raw, what do you think should be the appropriate punishment for such a heinous crime?
Well, I hope they sink.
But that probably won't happen because it was such a good boat.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Tales from the Tinny.
I doubt it would be in the Territory, but I wouldn't like to see what would happen if we ever find that trailer at a boat ramp anywhere.
On 105.7 ABC Darwin, and 783 Alice Springs.
They're a very distressed Kelly and partner who've lost. And she was saying the worst part was, of course, she just got the tails from the tinny flash red 1.2 metre sticker beautifully affixed to the boat.
So when she said the boat was perfectly set up, she meant the sticker
was
went
the
on
right
deliciously. That was what wasn't insured, unfortunately, Kelly.
Yes, but it does open a can of worms, doesn't it, Timothy? We've discussed this before, these heinous crimes that seem to be on the rise around town, boat-related crime. Mm. People knocking off stuff out of boats, people knocking off boats, people setting fire to cars at boat ramps.
Yeah, you probably would have heard last week, a bloke comes back at the thing, it was the East Arm Palmerston ramp there, which is, there are lots of problems and they want to put a secure ramp there eventually, but yeah, it came back to a Land Cruiser that was on fire. And I read about another bloke who went over to a mate's place for a beer a week or two ago, and they just popped down the shop for no longer than an hour, came back, all the tackle out of the boat was flogged, all the gear. And I remember last year, I think it was during the runoff, people were flogging stuff out of boats at the South Alligator Resort. A bloke ended up putting his Doberman in the boat and tying it up there overnight.
It's shocking, isn't it?
To discourage.
It's shocking,
to discourage
there. Yeah. And there was, I think Kelly was telling me that when she spoke to the cops, there was a few boats knocked off around that time, so I suspect they were probably knocked off to water, stuck on a truck, and now cruising the bloody Hunter River or something ridiculous like that.
The question for us and for you this morning is, what's an appropriate punishment?
What is appropriate?
For boat theft. She wants to see them sink. Hung, drawn and quartered is an option. Tarring and feathering, I quite like. You don't. Oh, you probably know, Rob, you put people in tar, then you feather them and drag them, don't you? I think that's how it works.
I put it to a few people at the boat ramps as I was having a chat yesterday, and just about every answer involved a testicle.
Did it?
In one way or another.
Or the lopping of it. The removal of it.
Yeah, that's right. Now, let's go out and find a bloke. I'm sure this bloke has got an opinion on the heinous crime that is going on around town. John Colson from Kakadu Way. Good morning, John.
How you going, boys? Smithy, you're never lost for a word.
I'm never lost for a word. They might be worthless words, but I'm never lost for one.
But they keep dribbling out.
They keep dribbling out.
Listen, what happened to that boat was, mate, as soon as you put that ABC sticker on it, it became a collector's item.
That's right.
That's right. Its value went up 73%.
What should be the punishment, John?
Lashes and transport them to Van Diemen's Land, mate.
Yep, ship them off to Tasmania.
Van Diemen's Land's got to be too good for them. Have to send them to New Zealand, surely.
Have a swimming race across the South Alligator River.
Hey, that'd be entertaining because everyone else could get a bit of a thrill out of that.
That's right, mate. It could be the newest spectator sport.
Yeah, love it. Hey, did you fish the East yesterday, John?
No, I'm going today, mate.
I'm going today.
It's a day late, but I'll catch you next week. But I have got some reports, Timmy.
I heard that sandbar might be moving a bit, making it a bit more accessible.
Yeah, I spoke to one of the rangers. He reckons it's sort of broadening. I'm not sure, but I'll give you a report on Monday.
When you say broadening, John, you mean the channel's broadening or the sandbar's broadening? The
sandbar's broadening, but actually going lower in the water.
Okay.
To a ranger, and he was telling me that. But the last time I went fishing up there, I noticed we got over and back fairly easy, but the boat I took was not very deep in draft, but the big tour boats were going across too. And today, remember, too, it's going to be a high tide, so there'll be extra water up there if
people
want to go.
Push it back up and over, yeah.
Have a good look at the top of the east, because if you don't catch a fish, the view's worth going for anyway.
I suppose with these bigger tides, the theory would go that it's going to take the bait further upstream, so it's a sensible choice on the top of the tide up there, eh, John?
I think so, mate, but the other thing is I think you get fish that are trapped up there, mate. And as people will tell you, the old fishermen, doesn't matter whether it's cooler or not, the fish still have to have a feed. So if you put something down that's enticing, they'll go for it. Now, I've got a couple of things here. I got a report yesterday that the billabongs on the South Alligator are starting to fire, but it's late in the afternoon to the evening. A fella told me they went to bucket. He got a 71. Then they got a 68 and a 66 at Red Lily, and they were talking to a chap who got a 70. And it was all late in the afternoon, and they were all catching them on poppers.
So the theory is that when the water's warming up, John, after the midday run.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think you've got to just what I'll tell you, you've got to brave it with the big lizards there and go out like just on dark and a bit after, and I think you'll do all right. That's a camping trip, let me tell you.
John, we
I
had a...
too much from 2 or 4 mile high. Cars crossing fired up yesterday. Not big fish, but a fair few fish on the tide, which was about 12:30.
I've heard a lot of smaller fish from 2 and 4 mile.
Yeah, that could be the case, mate. Mm. And that's what happened at East Alligator yesterday. And they'll probably all disappear today when I get there.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to have a quick one. I know I'm like that fella on the TV that they give him 1 minute and then cut him off in mid-sentence, but I'm talking about one you
beat. Oh, sorry, John, that's all.
Okay, nice to speak to you. See you later.
142 kilometres from Jabiru into Arnhem Land. That's a big landing, easy to medium. You can get a permit from the LLC. That's $88 per car for 5 days, which is quite reasonable.
Where's this Sandy Creek? Sandy Creek you're talking about?
No, One U Beach.
Ah, okay. How do you spell that?
One U's been good. And the guy I was talking to, old Camp Dog, one of our locals, he was catching GDS, Queenies, Trevally, and he saw some guys. I think it was Mick Barrett, and then they were catching Barracuda and Baronet on flies.
How do you spell that, John?
Also, it's crab and painted clay.
How do you spell that, John?
I don't think John can spell. Maybe that's the problem.
It's phonetic.
Wonyu. WONYU.
Okay.
.com.au.
Oh, beautiful. And that's from the Land Council in Jabiru, the permit.
Yeah, or even in Darwin, but they do limit the amount of people to go. And I tell you what, mate, once again, it's probably worth going just for the camping. And as I said, you can beach land. And it's probably, if you go steady, mate, you don't need a four-wheel drive to get there.
John, just finally, mate, out the mouths of the south and the east, have people been bothering travelling that far from around Jabiru that you've heard?
Not much, mate. You've got to remember, you fellas have got it over us really good because you've got to drive your car to the boat ramp at the harbour, then you're into it. Our fellas have got to drive 60, 40 kilometres to the boat ramp and then 60 down the river.
Yeah, we've got to have something over you in the dry season, given that in the build-up, living at Jabiru, there could not be a better place in the top end to live during the runoff than Jabiru.
Mm. Yeah, you're saying that, having never lived here, and all the mozzies and humidity.
Oh, go on, stop sooking.
You're a big, tough bloke, aren't you?
A barra's half a metre away from your front door.
Or in your letterbox.
You get barra in your letterbox.
Woot, don't you lot tell me to toughen up, mate. I rang from down at Timber Creek the other week, and I was talking to Wayne. Wayne said, John, there's no towel from the tinny, they've all wussed it.
See you, John.
Bye.
Have a good weekend. John Colson from Kakadu Tackle. You've got to be careful when you stir him up.
Yeah, that's right. Don't lob one in his direction. You might get a few back.
Well, you can lob one in his direction, then you just cut him off straight away.
That's right. We have the power of the button.
He was talking there about the alligator billabongs, Rob. That was one of the places we went to on this odyssey a couple of weeks back with all my mates from down south. What a delightful part of the world.
It is. It's fantastic in there, isn't it? I just love it.
We had it all to ourselves, too. We were so lucky. And put in that the alligator billabong. Mm. And it's one of the great things about travelling with, as much as you bitch and moan that, you know, I'm always showing people how to troll and get the weed off your lure and blah, 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 and it takes a lot of time and effort. People are, you know, when you've got visitors like that, they're delighted with a 40-centimetre barra.
Mm.
You know, the excitement.
Or just the drive in through there. Yes. I know it's a cliche that we always say, you know, but the drive seriously is worth it.
It's lovely country. And at one stage at the alligator, I got up, everyone was hungover, Rob, and I got up early in the morning.
I find that hard to believe on a camping trip with you.
Everyone, I got up by myself with a coffee, saw the boat sitting there because we left them in, and thought, I'll just go for a little flick and see what happens. And of course, half the people hadn't yet caught a keeper and they were desperate for it. I get out there and I'm trolling two rods, Rob. I sat with the tiller in the wrong arm, on the inside rod, you know, coming along the lily lines, because I thought that was most likely to get hit. Of course, smack on the outside rod. I haven't tried to land a fish by myself very often. As I grabbed the rod and it took off, it was clear it was a big fish. It burnt my hand as the line zipped through the rod. I then had to move the tiller with my leg, leaving the other line 20 metres out behind to try to steer the fish away from that line. Got him out in the middle in a lovely 73 and really silver too in the end, which was
very nice.
I chucked it back and no one believed me,
yes.
Of course, when I came back. Yeah, sure, mate.
Yeah, well, the key to this, of course, Timothy, is your greed, Spider-Man. If you're fishing by yourself, use one rod, you fool.
Yeah, I know now.
Oh, dear. 27 past five, your tales from the Tinny, 105.7 ABC Darwin, 783 Alice Springs. If you'd like to text us with your opinions on how the punishment should fit the crime, boat-related crime, it's on the increase, and we won't stand for it.
Tarring and feathering so far, 50 lashes, and maybe, I like John Colson's idea, a competition to see who can swim the South Alligator. Put all the thieves in a line, fire the starter's gun.
Maybe have a better block on their back?
Maybe. If you've got any better suggestions, 1-triple-9, 1057 or 1300 Mullet.
Here's a little known band from Liverpool. Back in the USSR.
G'day, my name's Dave. Last week we were over at Middle Arm and we got stuck into some mangrove jacks. We got about six all up over about 2 hours.
And what tide was it on there?
It was low tide coming in.
And off rock bars, were they?
No, actually in the creek mouth.
Oh, okay, and good size?
In a hole, yes, real good size.
Yeah, come on.
Nah.
Before the recording started, I reckon we were looking at, say, 5 or 6 kilo jacks.
They were good size.
Yeah, which is fantastic size for Harbour Arms, isn't it?
Yes, very good. Mm. Very good. We got six of them all up, so.
Beautiful.
Good feed.
What's the plan for today?
Oh, I'm going to try the wreck over the Leichhardt Creek.
Just drop a bit of bait on it?
Yeah, put a bit of bait over it, yep. Throw some lures at low tide and wait for the turn of the tide.
It's looking nice and glassy out there. Should be a nice morning on the water.
Yes, should be. Away from the wife.
Tales from the Tinny.
I'll edit that piece out.
On 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs.
Sorry, Dave. I forgot to edit that piece out.
Have you ever meet Rob at the boat ramp and he gives you that commitment?
Don't believe it.
Well, it's too late
I
anyway.
Lie like a pig in poo. Dave was actually, it was a mate of his whose boat, whose car was set on fire at the boat ramp.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so he had a few choice words. I had to edit them. They just couldn't go to air.
I'm taking
his opinions on the crime and punishment.
We're taking your calls this morning about what appropriate crimes and punishments are for people who steal boats and tackle. 1-triple-9-1057 or 1300 Mullet. In fact, why not have a sticker for the best the best punishment, a 1.2 metre fish measuring sticker from Tales from the Tinny, for the best punishment for a flogging boat or tackle. Hey, Rob, regarding that trip I was talking about before, I just wanted to mention to you, I thought of you as we were driving the Litchfield four-wheel drive track on stage, you know, five of this odyssey. You've often said to me how you don't believe in electric windows. Mm. You like a common rail diesel, mechanically windable windows in case there's any drama.
Yep.
One bloke of the convoy of five had electric windows, and he buffs and polishes and armour rolls his Hilux every day. And we gave him a lot of grief about how he was going to struggle when we come to a water crossing. It was going to be fireworks in there with all the space junk and electrical dramas. We pulled up to the first crossing on that four-wheel drive track. Right in the middle, a four-wheel drive, brand new Mercedes. Four-wheel drive,
yes.
Stuck in the middle. The story, it was just actually being winched out onto a tilt tray. We found out later, because the guy called up during the week to talk back with Leon Compton on the morning show. He's driven in, and all of a sudden, all the electrics have just failed. The car's just stopped in the middle of the crossing. And then it got worse, completely vindicating all this grief we'd been giving our mate. The windows, the electric windows just started going up and down.
The concept just gives me nightmares. It really does.
And it got worse. This guy sitting there humiliated. There are people banking up on each side of the crossing. No one can get through. Then his car alarm starts going off.
Just to say, look at me.
Yeah, look at me. He's cowering under the steering wheel. Oh, having to get dragged out. What an embarrassment. A lesson for us all in water crossings in the top end.
26 minutes to 6, Tales from the Tinny.
G'day. My name's Paul. It's Friday public holiday morning. We're heading across to Woods Inlet. Big tides this week, so hoping to pick up a few pelagics, maybe a few mud crabs as well.
So chase the pelagics in the harbour on the way over?
Yep. Hopefully see a few birds working and follow them around.
Been getting any pelagics this season?
Yeah. Mainly around Wickham Point, near the gas jetty there. Not too close, of course, but yeah, just big tides. They like the big tides.
Yeah, max or tuna or both?
Mainly tuna, just smaller tuna.
And chucking the pots in over the woods while you're there?
Yeah. Like I said, big tides, so crabs should be pushing right up the arms.
Been doing all right with the crustaceans lately?
This is the first time for me this year, but I've heard at Shoal Bay's going not too bad.
Yeah, I've been hearing there's lots of crabs around.
Yeah, that's the attraction today.
You're going to flick at the rocks or at some flats or anything while you're over there on the lake?
Yeah, well, Woods Inlet pretty much empties out, but it gets a bit of a channel going on the left-hand side, and a bit of prawns and stuff come out of there. I might try giving that a flick. And the rocks around Talc Head there.
Tales from the Tinny.
Sounds like a better day than sitting around on a Ferris wheel.
True, true.
On 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs.
20 to 6 on Tales from the Tinny. And stay tuned in a moment's time. A great story from Gove about how to show the southern fishos a thing or two. Everything just went right for one fisho over there. We'll catch up with him shortly. And stay tuned after 6 too, because Ronnie Vukolos from Fishing and Outdoor World joins us to take your calls and find out what he's been hearing around the traps. In fact, Ronnie's been fishing himself on his honeymoon, Rob.
I find that hard to believe.
No, he went to the Cook Islands and he said, it was my honeymoon and I got to fish every single day.
That is probably why you got married.
Yeah.
The only way you get away from the shop for a week.
So Ronnie will join us after 6 o'clock. And, of course, 1300 Mullet or is the talkback number, or 1-999-1057 is the text if you want to put a question to him. We've also got a T-shirt on offer. We're giving away all sorts of stuff. We're in a good mood because the A-team's back.
A-team.
It's pathetic, isn't it? A T-shirt for the first fish aboard this morning, if you give us a bell, and a sticker for the best idea for punishment for crime and misconduct on the waterway, for boat theft and tackle theft.
Speaking of which, we've had a contribution from Andrew on 1-999-1057. Strap them to the fog dam wall with a magpie goose necklace. Nice.
Love it.
Nice. I like that one.
Yeah. We've had a couple of other suggestions of floggings and whippings. The Tales from the Tinny Enterprises Department has some contributions too. We will hear from them before 6 o'clock. A lot of feedback over the past week or so, Rob. I wanted to tell you about this cabbie who I had a yarn to a couple of days back. He's a fisho. And he reckons he's one of the best tips he's ever been given, just in the last couple of years. He dead bait fishes in middle arm. And his mate said he uses prawns. His mate said the best way to get the prawns to stay on is you put them in a ice cream bucket of water, get the water to just fill over the prawns, and then add heaps and heaps and heaps of salt. Put it in the fridge for a couple of days, and the salt sort of starts to cook the prawns. Then he just gets the whole lot and puts it in the freezer. So when it comes fishing time, he simply defrosts them, and he reckons it turns them all fleshy, kind of like more like squid, so that normally with a prawn, you get one hit or even a touch, and you've lost the prawn. Here, he caught 3 to 4 snapper before he had to rebait. So that's a really good tip for prawn-based,
I actually got told too, for live bait, this is one I've never tried, but I've always been fascinated. If you get a live prawn in your net, give it a nice little delicate wipe on the back of the carapace, on its head there, with a little bit of kitchen towel. Put a drop of super glue on.
What?
And then super glue the hook on away from the head, if you know what I mean.
Like you'd rig a weedless rubber.
But above
his body.
Say the prawn sort of piggybacking the hook. Now it sounds fascinating to me.
Super glue the hook to the bait.
To the carapace of the bait. So it's still complete. It'll stay alive completely because you haven't pierced it at all.
Yeah, how about that? If you've ever tried it, let us know. That sounds pretty low percentage to me.
It's a high-tech low percentage.
To be honest.
Very much like our lives.
Heaps of feedback too at fishing@your.abc.net.au and on the website. Koala got in contact. He's just been up at Vietnam. He reckons he's a few kilograms heavier thanks to the delicious food up there, Rob. Looks and sounds like the fishing has slowed with the cold weather. I just can't help myself, though. I'll be getting the boat and cruiser packed up and heading down to the highway to those Kakadu billabongs as soon as I return. So good luck to your koala. I think he's out this weekend celebrating his return to the top end.
18 minutes to 6, Tales from the Tinny. Very shortly, Nolan Boy.
A welcoming prospect on darkened stretches of coastline. Sturdy tower and guiding light. Symbol of safe navigation to port. A constant on coastal shorelines. In 2009, the lighthouse at Festival Park will be a beacon of activity with us as your guide. Because nobody runs a festival like we do. The Darwin Festival from the 15th to the 30th of August on 105.7 ABC Darwin.
Yeah, g'day. It's Dave from Nullumboy. I'm standing here on a rainy day in July at the Guttalathamy Lagoon at Nullumboy there. I'm sure you blokes know that Nullumboy is just the top fishing spot that we like to keep a bit secret. We had a couple of mates up from Sydney and they'd been working with us on a job all week and nagging us all week to take them fishing, and telling us all week about the terrific leather jackets he'd caught in Botany Bay during the week. So they reckon he'd got a record with getting 7 leather jackets. we were pretty quiet about the fishing in Gove because, as you know, it can be on one day and completely off the next day. So on the Saturday, we took off pretty early and we were heading out the heads past the export wharf, and my mate spied some birds working on the water. We're on his 25-foot Bertram, and there was a few boat rods in the corner. One of them had a 8-inch silver spoon on it. So I picked the boat rod up and I gave it to the bloke from Sydney, put the rod in his hand, got the lure in my left hand and just lobbed it over the back. And he said to me, "What the hell do you think you're going to catch with that?" Well, next thing, he nearly got dragged over the side by a 6-foot mackerel. And this thing went off for 15 minutes, 20 minutes that he fought this mackerel, and he couldn't believe it, because one minute he was just standing on the deck and the next minute he was fighting for his life with this fish. Anyway, we would have got 100 fish that day. We threw everything back. We took 4 Macs, I think, and a couple of Red Emperor that we'd got out past Bremer. We got back to shore, and this bloke was just out of his mind with how great the fishing was, what a great day he'd had. You know, he was so thankful. We went back and cleaned fish all night and drank beer and talked about the day's fishing. Next week, he went back to Sydney, and he bought himself a spoon lure. And he went off the heads at Sydney Heads and dragged it up and down there for 2 weeks and got absolutely nothing. He sold his boat. To the best of my knowledge, he hasn't been fishing since.
Tales from the Tinny on 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs.
How good is that?
How good is that?
Teach a southern fisher how to fish. Send him home to give it a go. Catches bugger all and sells the boat. There's a lesson for yous all. 5:45 on Tales from the Tinny. A fair bit of feedback to this week. fishing@your.abc.net.au is the email address. fishing@your.abc.net.au. Bommy emailed last week, Rob, asking about those Mozzie lanterns and how effective they were. He's emailed back, "G'day boys, thanks for all the info. We'll probably have some time in Catherine, so we'll call in to somewhere down there and see if I can get some of the repellent. In regards to that sandfly protection, if I wasn't mentally scarred by the thought of Morg sitting in a boat in his jocks, the thought of you, Tim, butt naked and counting sandfly and mozzie bites on your bum is at the least very confronting." He suggests it might be a shot for next year's calendar, Robert. What are your thoughts? He wants the mozzie. Mozzie. I was telling the story last week about how I'd done some scientific trials with this mozzie burner in a state of extreme nudity. So he'd like to see that on the next calendar. "Although I do believe that Morg should take a leaf out of your book, Tim, when it comes to dedication in the pursuit of research into fishy things. Come on, Morgs. Hasn't everyone had Ross River? Take a couple of harden-up pills." Well said. Well said, Bommy. And Bommy says, "Good to hear you back too, Robert."
Thank you very much.
fishing@your.abc.net.au is the email address.
Or the telephone number is 1-999. No, that's the text number, 1-999-1057. Or you can phone on 1-300-MULLET, which is exactly what Hamish has done. He's a Gove boy as well while we're staying in the Gove region. Good morning, Hamish.
G'day, fellas.
How you going, mate?
Good as gold. Good
you've, been, gold. You've been getting into some tuna over that way.
Yeah, mate, having a fair bit of fun, actually. They're just sitting outside the export wharf and along the coast on the outside of the harbour at the moment, and, picking up a couple every second afternoon, mate. It's great fun.
You've just recently bought your first boat, Hamish.
I have, mate. I have invested. I'm loving it. It's a 5-metre tinny, mate, with a 40 on the back.
Oh, a 5-metre with a 40?
That's a bit underpoked, isn't it?
You need more poke.
It's all right. No, it's all right. It gets up and goes all right. That's what I thought as well.
What are you, 3'2" and weigh 10 kilos?
I'm pretty skinny, mate.
Hey, Hamish, how long have you been in Gove?
2 years now.
Right. So you must have been itching that whole time for your own boat.
Yeah, and everyone else has been sort of sniggering under their breath and couldn't wait for me to buy it as well tonight, let me tell you.
Yeah. Now, the tuna hang around all dry over there?
Pretty much, mate, yeah. They start to move inside the harbour now as the bait moves in and the wind picks up over here. So it's all through the footy season, actually, and they start to take off around September, I reckon.
And how have you found so far in targeting them? Your technique and their movements have differed with the tides between the neaps and the springs, because they're massive tides this weekend, Hamish.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't really matter too much with the tides. I think it's more just the bait location pretty much, and as the winds get stronger and the bait moves closer to shore, the tuna start coming in a bit tighter as well.
Do you still maintain good water quality over there on bigger tides?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's,
water colour, sorry. Yeah, clarity.
Yeah, Cody, it sort of foggies up a little bit, but not too bad at all. It's quite sandy over here, not too much silt around, so it's not too bad.
And what's your standard technique, Hamish, for the tuna?
I go like the clappers in the boat when I see them busting up and try to cast, put it out in front. It's really quite difficult to cast when they're not busting up, but as soon as you see them out of the water, put it out in front, a bit like a Luke Hodge pass to Buddy Franklin, put them on the tip, mate, and they're usually straight on straight away.
Marabou jigs and slices, chrome lures?
Yeah, I really stay with the chromies, mate.
Do you? Yeah, it's always a tough call for any tuna fisherman. How close to get to the school before you put it in idle or turn the motor off?
Yeah, that's it. I think work out how far you can cast and
try and
get upwind of them if you can. Mm. And but these guys stay pretty busy when they're busting up, and I've found that you can even go in quite close and they're still concentrating on having a feed and they don't take off too much.
Hamish, we're taking people's suggestions on punishments for mongrels who steal boats and tackle. Any particular ideas about how we could put some of these crims through the ringer?
What about the keel hauling, mate? Is that still in fashion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where you drag them.
Yeah, under the keel. You wait for get your boat all barnacly first. We don't want your new one. That's no fun.
Old fishing trawler or something would be nice, I reckon.
Keel hauling.
So you've got all the barnacles on the bottom, and you put a rope along, and then you tie them at the front, and then you just pull them through and scrape them over all the barnacles.
Yeah, back and forth a couple of times.
That's sweet. We're liking that one.
Pure genius, Hamish. See you, mate.
Righto, no worries, see you, boys.
Hamish from Gove. That is genius.
That is.
Keel hauling.
We'll take that on board.
We're taking your ideas for punishments for boat theft. 1300 mullet or 1-999-1057 is the text.
10 to 6. Here's Blur. Very shortly to Dundee, where the big conks are going on this weekend. Short, sharp, sweet, fast, fat and loud, like we like it in the tinny. Song 2 from Blur at 8:06. Let's head directly over to Joyce at Dundee Beach, who's tapping her feet and is getting a bit toey because she's doing the sign-in for the big comp over there this morning. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning.
How are you? We're good. What's the conditions like over your way?
Yeah, very good. It's been calm and had a little bit of wind in the afternoon, but nothing too bad.
Well, it hasn't been too blowy, Joyce. I would have thought it would have been starting to pump through your neck of the woods the last couple of days.
It had been earlier in the week, but yesterday it was pretty good.
Perfect.
Yes, it's about 18 degrees this morning, so yeah, it's good.
So how's it been fishing over your way? How's it looking for the comp?
Yeah, we've had some nice fish brought in. The biggest jewfish, just over 11 kilos. So there's been a weigh-in in most categories, so, yeah, it's looking pretty good.
Many macs coming, because the comp started yesterday, many macs and pelagic fish? Not that you know of?
Yes, we've had the biggest one, 7.2 in the mackerel.
Okay.
Yeah, a few of the bigger fish, but, yeah, it's not too bad.
What about sailfish, Joyce? Have they been catching many of them yet? Because I heard there was a cash prize for the first one boated.
Yes, that's right. It's $1,000 for the first sailfish, and there's been a few people chasing them, but they haven't quite got one yet.
Oh, I haven't landed one yet.
No, so there's a lot of people out there today going to give it another go.
Yeah.
Yes, I think they've sighted them, and there was a sighting of a black marlin, but... nobody was able to land one yesterday.
Are barra part of the comp as well, Joyce?
Yes, it's the first billfish weighed in, so whichever one someone's able to get, yeah.
No, I mean barramundi. Are people catching them as part?
Down at
the Finnis and whatnot?
Someone's got one at the Finnis, 4.8.
Right.
Yeah, and we've had cobia, cold trout... nice tuna, 3.4. We've even had some mud crabs weighed in, so 1.5, so it's not a bad-looking mud crab.
Anything you can bring from the ocean is part of the comp then, by the sounds of things. How many people down there, Joyce?
There's about 60 people fishing the comp, yes.
Mm.
And, the first couple of boats are lining up now, ready to go in.
And all wraps up on Sunday, Joyce?
Today, yes.
Wraps up today.
Yeah, 5 o'clock today, and then we'll have presentation dinner tonight here at the at Dundee.
And a few little sherbys, no doubt.
Yes, I think so. Yes, and the comp's been very well sponsored by about 53 Darwin and Dundee businesses.
Wonderful. So, good on them.
So it's been really good.
Good on you, Joyce. Yeah. Thanks heaps for that. Hope it goes well for you over there, and the mobs get amongst them.
Yes, we hope so. Okay, thank you very much.
See you, Joyce.
Bye.
Bye. Joyce from Dundee with a big comp going over there this day. The public ire is starting to rise, Timothy. I think the anger is swelling through the suburbs. We're having a few contributions on the crime and punishment topic. Mm. Wazza has got a thought. Are you there, Wazza?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you got for us, mate?
Well, I think you should let them come fishing with me.
And what happens then?
Oh, well, I come home. But they don't.
It's simple and, again, pure bloody genius, was it?
Hard but fair. Hard but fair. Yeah. That's all you can ask in a justice system.
It's crime befitting punishment.
Yes, it is. Hey, Woz, while we got you, heard a couple of reports from those alligator billabongs, which you know really well. You heard much from them in the last week or two?
I was talking to the boys the other day, and they were saying the same thing, that if I tell all the secrets, they'll beat me up.
Oh, okay.
All right, and they take you fishing and leave you somewhere.
Because I told, it's really good because I told Tim some secrets, and by the sound of things, he mentioned them to other people the other week, and they all thought, oh, that's a stupid idea. So that's really good. I like that.
I'm pleased. I just thought I was going to get in trouble for dobbing you in for something. On your Wazza. See you, mate.
No worries. Have a good weekend. Good to hear from you, Rob.
Oh, good to hear from you, Wazza. We like your suggestions. This is Tales from the Tinny, 3 minutes to six. The phones are starting to run hot. People want law and order in their lives, Tim. People want structure and order, don't they?
1300 Mullet is the number, or 1-999-1057. Your suggestions for the best punishment for people who steal tackle and steal boats, and there's a 1.20 metre fish measuring sticker in it for the best suggestion.
Now, the way to get law and order in your lives is simple, folks. Vote! Vote, vote for the TFT FFP.
We take you now to the Northern Territory Press Club in Darwin for a policy address by the newly formed Tales from the Tinny Fishing First Party. Your speakers, Rob Smith and Tim Moore.
Law and order. It's a disgrace.
I'm almost afraid to walk the streets at night, Tim, and successive governments have done nothing...
Nothing!
...about it. But a newly elected TFT FFP government will be tough on crime.
You better believe it.
Introducing customised criminal punishment packages.
Let the punishment fit the crime. Youth gangs. We'll round the buggers up, send them off bush to a manners acquisition camp where they'll be forced to listen to grey nomads' travel tales and stories of the old days for 16 hours a day.
Brutal but fair. Crab pot raiders. Any mongrels found perpetrating this heinous crime will be chained nude to the floor of a cage filled with mud crab bucks that we have enraged. With sleep deprivation, poking with sharp sticks, and alternating high decibel doses of death metal and boy band music.
Right on!
Swine who break into cars at boat ramps will be restrained in stocks at the very boat ramp of their crime, and passing fishos will be allowed to administer 5 strokes each with a 6-foot Loomis, and then throw their choice of either salt or vinegar into the wounds.
Nice touch, like it. Yeah, very good, yeah.
And boat thieves. Well, we want to keep a few surprises for criminal filth up our sleeve till after we're elected. But just think, sit down and high voltage.
We're not just going to talk tough on crime, we'll walk tough on crime.
In fact, we'll stomp tough on crime.
The TFT FFP. Put us to work.
This has been a political broadcast on behalf of the Tales from the Tinny Fishing First Party, written and authorised by Barry Mundy.
It makes good sense. It makes good sense.
Those ideas pale in comparison to some we've had this morning, though. I really like the idea of the keel haul.
Keel hauling.
Keel haul, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Keel haul.
Old-fashioned.
Keel haul boat stealers. And particularly, was it Andrew who texted earlier saying...
The magpie goose necklace.
Yeah, put a magpie goose necklace on these crims and put them in the stocks out at Fog Dam. Like it. If you've got any other suggestions for crime, for boat theft, 1300 Mullet, which is 1300 68 5538. 1300 68 5538, or you can flick us a text on 1-999-1057. Stay tuned after 6 this morning. Ron Vukolos from Fishing and Outdoor World joins us to take your calls on those numbers.
Tales from the Tinny on 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs.
Here we go, Timmy. Having a little bit of a troll at 6 o'clock, 5 past 6 on a Saturday morning, 105.7 ABC Darwin, 106.1 in Catherine, the Daily and Groot. We've kicked back a gear, haven't we?
Nice and calming, and we needed it too. Because
the rage that is sweeping the suburbs.
The rage. We've been taking your calls and comments and texts on appropriate punishments for flogging boats and flogging tackle.
And burning people's
cars.
That boat ramp's a disgrace. We've got a couple of texts come in on 1-999-1057. How about using the lousy thieving dudes.
Bastards.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
For live trawl bait. Soak them in tuna oil first.
Sensible.
Sensible. Might be a new type of sail bait. Greg from Groot. They like catching a sail over that way. So they know about sails.
Soak them in tuna oil and, maybe smear them in the carcass of some old chooks.
Yep.
Or the carcass of some old fish.
Just a dead buffalo.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, exploded. Mm. What else have we got? Boat thieves. A bit of Mogadishu justice. Lop off their hands with a cane knife. Give them something to think about. Now, see, fishos are obviously, they're hard but fair. These are all
they are.
These are all fair suggestions, yeah. Timothy. I haven't got a problem with any of these yet.
Firm but fair. We heard earlier about the idea of keel hauling.
We want to bring back, reinstate people. The keel haul. That was from Al, the Mogadishu justice.
Andrew said earlier too, strap him to the fog dam wall with a magpie goose necklace. Another person's texted in the number 1-999-1057 if you want to get involved in the debate. Had my boat stolen last year. Police found the boat dumped in Palmerston with the motor missing. Bring back public stonings.
We could get fishos. Hang on, I've got to scroll this down a bit, do I? Together. That's to be continued. I think that's only half a text, Tim.
We could get fishos together to stone them, I think is what they're getting at.
And it'd be great for the Australian cricket team. Get the kiddies throwing rocks, aiming at the sticks. Ronnie Vukolos has joined us in the studio for this hour. Good morning, Ronnie.
Morning, boys.
What's your thoughts?
Well, what about with just touching on the public stoning, tie them up at Donna Beach boat ramp on a public holiday, just painted, I'm a boat thief, and let everyone have a crack.
That's right.
Because there's no shortage of people there and a bit of boat rage, a bit of ramp rage. We can sort of imagine the ramp rage.
It's two things at once. The crime, you get the ramp rage. Just get it out of your system. Punch the snot out of a boat thief.
Just a punching bag.
Absolutely perfect. I like the public humiliation element too, to put them in the stocks. And maybe you could just leave a whole range of tools there beside them. You know, maybe a long, whippy sort of tuna casting rod to flog them with, or various bits and pieces.
Yeah, seven foot six spin stick.
Yeah.
Nice light taper on the tip.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. So if you've got any other suggestions, 1-999-1057 or 1300 Mullet is the number. We're taking your calls about appropriate punishments for boat thieves. And what I particularly like, I'm seeing a consistent theme here, Rob, and that is sort of public displays where the rest of the fishos can get some entertainment and some enjoyment from it. Because one of our callers...
You don't want pointless punishment. If you're going to punish someone, you want to get some fun out of it as well.
And if you've just tuned in, John Colson, we spoke to an hour or so ago, suggested a swimming race across the South Alligator River.
And that's a spectator sport.
Perfect example. And Rob suggested perhaps they need a Besser block tied to the back of them.
A handicapping system.
To the weather this morning, we'll get more details in about half an hour from the Bureau, but a brief summary. It's not all that flash, to be honest. Easterly winds 10 to 15 knots, increasing to 15 to 20 in the late morning and early afternoon. A northerly afternoon sea breeze of 15 knots. Seas to 1.5. Ron Vukolos, you found out firsthand about that weather yesterday.
I was going to sneak over and try and get stuck into some of these trevally that have been getting around. Phil from work a few days ago had quite a good trip, got some nice goldens, and I tried around the Mandora Wharf, or attempted to try around the Mandora Wharf, when the waves were breaking over the break wall in front of the pub. I thought it was time to turn around. Actually had a young bloke on board who had been promising to take fishing for a while, and I reckon he wouldn't have slept the night before, but all excited. Yeah, I don't think he'll be telling his mates. He won't be giving me too much of a rap.
And you taught him firsthand what it's like to go fishing with Ronnie.
He got soaked. It was rough. I think it just a combination of 15 to 20 blowing straight up the middle of the harbour and that big running tide.
Didn't come through with cracks through your boat again?
No, I didn't break the boat, but I sort of only went out with a plan A, so I could have done with a plan B and C, so no fish.
And in direct contrast, Ron, this must really hurt to rub salt into the wounds. Other colleagues from work really performed
a lot better. Had my phone turned off when I got home, turned it back on, and there's a photo of a couple of nice barra sitting on top of the esky, the West Boys venture.
Oh, I saw them. Oh, they were said to me they were chasing Queenie's, the lion dogs.
Oh,
I saw them down at the
West
Beach.
Boys. Oh, good boys. They ventured up middle arm. And
just chasing tuna, Rob.
No.
They had a cracker of a day, actually. I think they got they landed a dozen fish out of about 20 hookups, just working the flats in middle arm. In fact, funnily enough, while it was windy, they found a spot not far from Channel Island that they don't normally fish, just the sheer fact it was out of the wind. And, I think they pulled sort of half a dozen fish just off that lake.
Which is great barra fishing for the harbour in the dry season.
You'd take a dozen fish anywhere, anytime you went out. So
critical thing, get out, find spots out of the wind with a little bit of shelter, yeah.
That's what it was.
Now, while we are talking harbour and barra and things like that, let's do this, Tim.
Time for the tides.
And the date being, as he focuses his bleary eyes, the 25th. Let's have a look. They're big tides at the moment, aren't they? 7.6 high this morning at 8.36, dropping to 1.3, 1.5 metre low, nearly at 2:45 in the afternoon. So if you're out at that stage, you're out for till nearly towards sunset, I'd say, getting close. Back up to a 7 metre high at 8:30 this evening. Tomorrow, that high tide moves to 9 a.m. and is dropping slightly back towards the neap, so down to a 7.5 metre high at 9 o'clock, and 3:30, 1.2 metres.
And stay tuned. Ronnie Vukolos will keep us company for the next hour, right up and through until 7. We'll have a chat to him in a moment about how we might be able to work those tides on the blue water. It is windy, but if you can get out of the wind, there are some options. We'll take you through the Billabong dry season options as well before 7 o'clock. And welcome your calls, as always, if you've got any suggestions or places you're heading this morning or questions. 1300 Mullet is the number, or flick us a text, 1-999-1057.
I'm Robbie from Knockle. The day I lost my virginity. Yoo-hoo! It was a beautiful barra. The earth moved. It was all happening. Everything shook. After months and months of trolling in all the wrong places, I found love. We kissed it. It was a lovely moment. And I think that changed that barra's life in an instant. It ended up in my pen.
Tales from the Tinny on 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs.
That's Wuzza there, dropping her barra virginity. And just a quiet note, I played that. Wuzza is a very good friend of the Tinny who passed away during the week. This is for you, Wuzza.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Johnny Cash and the Ring of Fire there for Robbie Gifford. From the Tinny. At 16 minutes past 6 on 105.7 ABC Darwin, 783 Alice Springs. The lines are running hot. The righteous indignation sweeping the suburbs as the crime rate skyrockets. Boats being knocked off. Stuff being knocked off out of boats. Having your boat set on fire. It's just a disgrace, really, isn't it? It's an absolute disgrace.
We had another suggestion too, Rob. This is simple. I mean, they've been so complex up until now. Just jam a gaff up there, Dates, says one listener. 1-999-1057 is the text, or 1300 Mullet is the number. Ronnie, what do you like about this weekend's tides, mate? Because for mine and for many fishers, that'd be a bit of a challenge. Yeah, that big and so windy.
They look tough, but I mean, I know Pete Zeroni a couple of times on the Big Springs, which you just can't get that concept. But out at the gutters, North Gutter and South Gutter and even Fenton, just, you know, having a jig on the bottom of the tide, you know, providing the weather's not too bad. But Really good land-based options. I mean, that's sort of an 8:30 or 9 o'clock high tide. You know, deck chair cinema, East Point, those sort of areas, soaking a live mullet, live sardine. I'm sure Blue and the boys might be having a spin off East Point for a big GT or something. So I like those big tides for that.
Heard some good reports there over the last couple of weeks with mackerel around East Point.
Yeah, plenty of mackerel. And also, but there's
big balloon, getting a big balloon out there.
Yeah, but a lot of trevally as well. Yeah. And as I said, the other day, Phil nailed that. From work now, it's some like goldens. Like, you got half a dozen golden trevally, you normally get one or two, but he sort of a brace of them, so to speak, just jigging plastics. That was in the boat, obviously. But yeah, the big tides give you some options. But as I said, with the West boys doing well up middle arm, obviously no shortage of barras up there, and an Arvo sort of 1.2 low tide, pretty good.
I'm still pissed off about that. Yeah, we're going to chase some queenies, mate.
That may have been their intention later on. But we are talking about boys that were at the Rolly Shoals, and after about 2 days, they were looking for mangroves. So, barra's in their blood.
That's it. 18 past six. Tom Condis is a man who's known about the paddocks as harsh but fair. He's got some thoughts on the crime and punishment things. Where are you, Tommy?
Hello, Rob. I've just picked up my customers here. I'm at Stokes Hill Wharf, and it's flat calm.
Good.
And I've thought of this, and I've been thinking about this for a long time. And what it is put them on the trailer, dip them in the water back and forward.
Oh, yes.
With people all around the boat ramp.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so sort of like a water torture punishment, where you, like you see on the movies where people get their head flushed down the toilet, and just as they're about to breathe in water, they get pulled up again.
And like Jesus Christ on the trailer.
Oh, you're in a crucifixion kind of a...
The Greeks. That's the Greeks.
The Greeks are here.
So you tie them up in a crucifixion kind of stance, and you reverse in, and then just pull them out at the last second and keep and repeat. And repeat.
That'd be good for
it. Exactly. And what Ronald said was very good too, with the whipping there, with the nice whippy rod. Beautiful.
There's a bit of Catholic sort of, self-flagellation sort of business coming in here, isn't
Who
there?
Who said
right?
Fishermen aren't thinkers?
Yeah, that's right.
Brainier blokes than you give us credit for. Tommy.
crueler.
Crueler. Yeah. How's the fishing been, Tom?
Very good, mate. The harbour's been good. Got some nice blue salmon yesterday morning. Got a 15-kilo jew in amongst them.
Oh, nice.
And half a dozen Noahs.
Tom, what's your tip with the big tides? You fishing the swings of the tide or getting up the creeks?
Exactly that, Ronald. And I can't tell you where I'm going because I can't let the cat out the bag.
Roger.
So only for my customers only, which they're looking at me there, saying, hurry up, let's go fishing.
Yeah, they're also saying, look, who have we got on a boat with this boat who wants to strap people in the boat?
Who's the flagellation freak?
Hey, Rob, I had a phone call from Andrew from Hook, Line and Sinker during the week, right?
Yep.
And he rings me up and he says, look, I want to go fishing. I want to go fishing with you. And I said, yeah, no worries. Next Friday is next availability. He goes, no, tomorrow. I said, no way. And I tell you what, mate, he reminds me of you because he's that quick and witty.
Well, a lot of people say I'm a wit, but they put another word in front of it, generally.
Hey, nice to hear you back on the radio. I've got to go. See you later.
Good on you, Tommy.
Tom Condis from King Condis. Fishing tour is just preparing to put in this morning, 1300 mullet, if you wanted to give us a bell as well. Darren Hill's fallen upon some harsh times on the blue water in the last couple of days. G'day, Darren.
How you doing, all right?
Great, mate. How are you? You had actually, I better tell the backstory here. During the week, I had a call from your good self and Paul Van Bruggen. It was about 7 a.m. in the morning, simply rubbing it in to say you were leaving to going fishing, sucked in, I was at work.
Yeah.
And then it all went to hell in a handbag, didn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest day out on the blue water, but it wasn't, still better than working. But
true.
I was actually thinking about that, that punishment for people knocking off tackle gear and stuff. Maybe just a decky with bloody Paul for the day. That's enough punishment, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
having to listen to some of these anecdotes and funny stories for like 10 to 12 hours, that's enough punishment, isn't it?
Push
someone to the wall, you reckon?
Laugh politely as Paul Van Bruggen tells another story.
That's right. And I think maybe just they're not allowed to fish and they just have to pull up the anchor rope every 15 minutes. But then again, that's just normal decky sort of duties with Paul. So, yeah.
What, the anchor gimp isn't a particularly nice job on his boat, eh?
Oh, well,
you know, it doesn't matter whether it's 40 metres deep and you just have to keep pulling it up every 5 minutes. There's no offer to, oh, look, come on, I'll pull this one up, you know. you certainly earn your keep as a deckie.
Where did you head that day, Darren?
Oh, look, we went sort of journeying all over the place, went out to South Gutter and then across to, I don't know, halfway, buddy, North Gutter and then back over sort of out the front of Tapper and to get out of the wind and stuff. And, yeah, I've been a three-tide day. I don't know. We sort of got back and we said, why did we even go out? But I think the excitement of having a day out was as much as anything. But went out to Quabri yesterday and done all right.
Oh, did you? That's interesting. Yeah. Funnily enough, like every other bugger in town, I've got a visitor. I'm taking out to Quabri tomorrow. Where'd you go?
Up in the Rock Hole, mate.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, we went up into the Rock Hole and got, we were getting sort of a fisher pass kind of thing.
Oh, that's good going.
Yeah,
you just got to look for that water around the six-foot mark. And, you know, sort of depth-wise where it's a bit warmer, I think, and that was where the fish were holding up. Anything that was a bit deeper wasn't really happening for us. And then, once that wind came up, we just then went casting around the Pandanus for the toga and stuff. Had a bit of a toga party.
Now, quickly, just on Corroboree before we head back to the Blue, you went to the Rock Hole, so you can get through from the main billabong?
Easy.
Oh, okay, good. Now, on the Blue, we were talking earlier of big tides at the moment. Do you like going wide on the big tides?
Look, mate, I don't mind getting out any tides, really, but I reckon, a bit more movement's better. Mm. I reckon once you're getting over about highs of about 6.8 or 6.9, it's too much run.
Yeah. Ronnie was talking about Pete Zeroni loves to go as wide as South Gutter and those sort of places, which is pretty keen, really, isn't it? Because you're probably only looking at a 15 or 20 minute window to get your bait or jig to the bottom.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when we went out the other day, we come across a bit of a patch of fish out at South, and just doing a drift, you're drifting for 1 or 2 minutes, and man,
you're hitting 15 knots.
Oh, it's unbelievable, and particularly because we had a bit of wind with us as well. You know, the amount of time you cover is incredible. But we tried anchoring up, but then you've got to anchor so far up from the mark and then take into account how far you've got to let your lead drift away from the boat. It's almost impossible to get that right, you know.
Yeah, I think talking to Matt at Equinox here as well, and they've been doing well down at Bass. You didn't venture down that far. He said sort of the bigger tides, been getting a few good mackerel and that down there. You didn't do the shallow stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, particularly when you're in bloody 35 metres of water or 40 metres of water, once that tide gets ripping, it's when you put a bit of wind into the equation, it's bloody like a Rubik's Cube, mate, trying to get onto a spot. So.
Hey, Darren, just before you go, back on Corroboree.
Yep.
Are you using your sounder to determine the water temperature to finding those warmer, shallower spots, or are you just assuming that the shallow weed banks are the best crack, you know, the best percentage?
Yeah, just depth, mate. Like I just
six reckon, foot.
Well, for us anywhere around that 6 foot mark's worth of troll, and it seemed to be our choice on going to the Rock Holes just to get away from the people a bit. And having said that, there was plenty up there compared to normal anyway. But yeah, we just work on that, and then once the wind came up, sort of the fish seemed to shut down a bit, so we just go flicking, you know, weedless soft plastics around the Pandanus and stuff. So yeah.
Okay, Darren, you putting the boat in this weekend or hanging around the show?
I might do a little bit crabbing over the next day or two, but I'm going to go out to the show, take the little fella, buddy, out to the show. He's sort of 2 years old, so
you get all the good jobs.
You get given the little fella so your hands are full so you can't buy more fishing tackle everywhere you go, don't you?
Pretty much it, yeah. He'll go good. He'll go out to the petting zoo or something and probably half-strangle something.
Good on you.
Excellent. See you, Darren.
All right.
See ya.
It's Darren Hill, who's a local fisho around town, been doing all right at Corroboree, which is good to hear. Hey, just quickly too, it's 27 past 6 on Tales from the Tinny. You with Tim Robb and Ronnie Vukolos is in here too for the next half hour or so. 1300 Mullet is the number, or 1-999-1057. If there's anything on your mind, or you've got reports from anywhere or a question.
A bit of cruelty on your mind.
Yeah, because we're still taking your calls and your texts about crime, punishment for people who flog boats. But I just wanted to mention too, a congratulations to Athenia and Charlie Chambers, who've had Charlie's a fella from Happy Mix, who we used to talk to a fair bit. They've had a baby girl called Lila. And it got me to, Rob, I know a lot of people, a lot of mates recently who have had little kids, and this will be coming for you too soon, no doubt, Ronnie. And it's really interesting to observe and watch how they manage their fishing addiction now that the kid has come along. Darren's one who's pretty got it nailed. Harmsy, another fellow who we talked to on the tinny, had his baby out from the age of two, and they took her out and used to wash her with the deck wash in and let her sleep in the live bait tank. Pure genius. But for every parent, mum or dad, who's a fisho, it's always a challenge of how to manage the kid and your fishing time. I hope this helps this morning. Maybe play this for the youngster, and it'll help soothe troubled waters.
Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, fishy, fishy. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, 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 fishing off the pier. Well, I've got my rod and I've got my bait. All I've got to do is sit here and wait for the big, big fish to come my way, even if it's gonna take all day. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, fishy, fishy. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, 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 fishing off the pier. I've been sitting here for about an hour, waiting for a fish to overpower. I don't want a shark or a big stingray, I just want a fish on this lovely day. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, fishy, fishy. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, 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 fishing off the pier. Well, there's big ones, skinny ones, sparky ones, and flat ones. There's catfish and clownfish and swordfish and rainbow fish, shellfish, with yellowfish, bluefish, greenfish, redfish. There's so many fish in the sea. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, fishy, fishy. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, 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 fishing off the pier. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, fishy, fishy. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, 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 fishing off the pier.
There you go, fishos. Unfortunately, now you, like the rest of us in the studio, have that wretched song stuck in your melon for the rest of the day. Here, fishy, 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 here, fishy, fishy, fishy.
A couple of good friends of the tinny, Travis and Fiona, just had a little baby boy, Patrick McMillan Cadell Saunders. So congratulations to them too. And Dad found that song for little Patrick, who's only a couple of weeks old, and it's helped at least calm him down. Being able to put the boat in the water anymore.
It does conjure some fairly unattractive pictures. We've mentioned a few people this morning who are, in inverted commas, friends of the tinny. It just conjures up tragic, terrible pictures of people in cardigans.
Doesn't it?
Writing letters to the editor about, the syntax and the spelling is terrible. Their pronunciation of words.
If you don't like our pronunciation, do not bother sending a text or an email. It will be filed directly to the bin.
They haven't pulled up in their Toyota Crown, have they?
Toyota Crown. Spot on. Half past six on the Tales from the Tinny. We'll take you to the Weather Bureau in just a moment. Just a quick email too, fishing@your.abc.net.au. Hi Tim, just arrived after 3 weeks in Singapore where I fished the saltwater impoundments. I don't know if you heard about these, Ronnie. This is a fella called Rob, who's a potty mullet, and he went out to Corroboree, got bugger all, got a bit peeved, flew off to Singapore to fish these stocked impoundments.
Oh, saltwater, you did say saltwater impoundments.
Yeah, saltwater. And every night at 10 o'clock, they release a batch of all sorts of species, and you just sit there and catch them, and then if you want to keep them, you go and pay the man for the absolute cheating. Anyway, fished two night sessions and once during the day, got a few mangrove jacks, just under a kilo, couple of large pan-sized snapper, very comfortable land-based fishing with rod holders, tables, chairs, umbrellas, and 24-hour coffee shop.
Fish yeah. in a barrel.
Yeah, oh, here we are. Yes, it is cheating, but at least it's better than not fishing. Well said, Rob. There is tackle and bait shop. Most people live bait with either live prawns or small milkfish or mullet. It costs $38 to fish for 12 hours, and you can release or keep your catch. If you do want your catch cleaned, you cut it, it gets cut into cutlets or filleted at the bait shop. They do it and keep it in the fridge for you for just $2. Most people tend to keep them alive until they leave. Yep. Pond is, here we are. Pond is stocked weekly with a new truckload of fish from Malaysia, and fish are kept in 7 enclosures. Each night at 10 p.m, fish are released from one of the enclosures. On your Rob. Rob sent us a pic, too, of his catch in Singapore. No doubt he'll be going out like a real man and trying to catch real fish at Corroboree again. Good luck if you do, Rob.
28 minutes to 6. 7. That August theme ushers in the burning news of the day, and on the desk, the big Adam from the B team. Are you offended?
I know the B team. I get up every weekend at 3-something o'clock in the morning, drive here at stupid o'clock in the
morning.
And
still can't get called the A team.
And then I get called the B team.
No, look, we'll call you A for the day.
Thanks, bastards. Yes. So, look, last weekend, I don't know whether you heard, police are reiterating their call for boat users to ensure they have the right safety equipment. There was a husband and two kids that got marooned on the mouth of the Buffalo Creek. They had to shoot their EPIRB off. The issue is they fired 2 flares beforehand, and no fishos cared.
The incident really highlights to us the benefits of carrying the appropriate safety equipment. Within an hour of the beacon activation, this group whipped safely back on land.
That was Territory Jupa Superintendent Rob Farmer.
Interesting that they were just at the mouth of Buff Creek. Yeah. We've all been caught there. I've never even considered setting off my EPIRB, to be honest.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, obviously they're with a family, they're worried, and maybe it was more desperate. But it is worrying. Did you hear about that, Ron? They set off 2 flares and no one came,
well,
even though there were boats
nearby. It was close to Krakenite.
Right, I was going to say, if it's anywhere within the 3-week radius of Krakenite, you've got no hope.
I don't know. I just, was that daytime, nighttime when they let the flares off? It's sort of...
Not sure.
Nighttime. It was nighttime. It was last weekend.
Yeah.
It's... Every Krakenite, as I watch them go off, I think, God forbid, God help the fisho out there tonight.
Who
hits a rock bar.
You need to go out at Krakenite. Yeah, there were just flares going off everywhere. I don't know, maybe we're a bit, we just don't see them all the time, so. Mm.
Who knows?
Look, Afan said we need to, the government needs to spend some more money on educating fishos about how to react to this type of thing. Chris Makepeace from AFANT is also saying, less than 28 days, you've got your chance to put in your thoughts about the Fog Bay closures.
Okay. Most of the feeling has been from, we had Chris Makepeace on last week, he said they're pretty happy with the Bino closure, but would like to see the closure line around the mouth of the Finnis extended to the whole of Fog Bay. Well, have you heard much about that in the last week or two, Ronnie?
No, fishermen being, we always tend to not do anything until... laws pass and then everyone gets up in arms. So as you said, 28 days, ideally getting it extended out in terms of, from a fishing sense for amateurs is obviously would be bonza. Seeing the fishing that was in the Finnis when they did close the improvement in it, just, one can imagine what it'd be like in 2 years' time with that.
Send your feedback to AFANT, whichever way you feel.
Yeah, I think it's less than 28 days. So basically what they're saying is hurry up, get your asses into gear.
As I said, because everyone's...
Put your opinions on
paper. You could actually put your feedback on paper, roll it up, insert it in the orifice of a boat thief, set them on fire, leave them on the doorstep of AFANT.
Oh, bravo! You are a thinker, mate. Fantastic. You're a big ideas fella. That's why you're on the A-team.
Now, talking about big ideas and A-team, the aircraft carrier USS George Washington is in town, powered by not one but 2 nuclear reactors. About 5,000...
It's much more than Hamish's 40 horsepower.
Yeah, 5,000...
Yeah, 5,000 people on board. Actually, I was speaking to one of my bosses here. She was on it last week. When you're leaving it, they slingshot you off it. So you go from 0 to 220 kilometres an hour in 2 seconds.
Wow. On the planes.
That's better than the show.
That's better than the show.
Yeah. Anyway, so Leon Compton this week spoke to the ship captain, David Lausman, and asked the obvious question on our behalf.
Look, we have a fishing show on Saturday mornings called Tales from the Tinny, and I'm fairly sure they would want me to ask you this question. Can you fish from the USS George Washington, and do you throw lures out the back?
Well, I don't have any trout lines out in the back because I do have to maneuver quite a bit. The flight deck is 60 feet off the water, and there's not really a lot of sponsons to do that. On other deployments earlier in my career, we have stopped and had fishing days, but it's kind of impracticable if you do catch something to try to bring it up. There's no gaff hook really big enough to get it on board.
Oh, but, you know, septics being septics, they wouldn't worry about that. They'll have a bit of sport fishing. They'd probably just drag it aside and blow it away.
I've got a brilliant idea. Get a boat thief, right? Super glue a gaff hook to his back, lower him down the 60-foot, gaff your mackerel and bring him back up again. thanks for asking, Leon.
We're on a roll here. This is some really valuable stuff. Feedback to the Justice Department.
1300 mullet or 1999 1057 if you've got some feedback about ideas for punishment for boat thieves this morning.
23 minutes to 7. Let's head back out to the Bureau. Mark Cursor Marcus, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we've had some troughs coming through the Bight, which is giving us some humidity at this time of year, which has been a little bit odd, hasn't it?
It has, although it did dry out a little bit yesterday. I don't know if you noticed.
Now, just before you go any further, I just want you to comment. That sounded really informed, didn't it?
It did. where did you read that, Rob?
No, carry on, mate.
He's not
for
even
you, for you. It did sound very
well said, Mark.
It did dry out a little bit yesterday, but it was warm. I don't know if you noticed. It got to 34 in Darwin yesterday, so quite warm. Although, as I said, the humidity did drop out a bit. But yeah, you're right. The troughs coming across does normally mean we get less wind and, you know, earlier sea breeze is injecting the moisture.
Not the case for this weekend, though, unfortunately.
No, because the Queensland Ridge is still quite strong and you know, those winds above the surface are mixing down with the heating, so that and they're drying out the humidity as well during the day.
So, in other words, Mark, that seemingly informed comment was completely irrelevant.
Well, it doesn't matter if it was irrelevant, it was informed.
It was.
You got to get them in while you can get them in.
It was mistaken for this weekend, generally it's not a bad sort of theory.
What about over the east, Mark?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of wind through the off the north coast and in the Gulf, and it's going to get worse. I didn't mention that earlier. We're expecting a big high to come in on Monday across 1,033-34 maybe, and that'll push a good southeasterly right through. But even now they've probably got a good 15 or 20 knots through the Gulf waters and off the north coast for this weekend. So, yeah. But it'll probably even get worse from at least Tuesday, maybe even Monday in the southern Gulf, because that high that's coming in is going to push another southeast surge up through the top end on Monday and Tuesday morning and Wednesday as well. So it could be quite blowy next week. And I guess if you're going to get out there, this weekend's the best time, although there is still a little bit of wind around even this weekend.
Cheers, Mark.
Okay.
Mark Kurzemarker, Senior Forecaster at the Bureau.
Soles Ortes.
The sun is risen.
Equus veneticus piscatoris consectatio captura.
The fisherman stalks his prey.
Ofugio mulletus sorsum bos.
Get a mullet up you.
Tales from the Tinny on 105.7 ABC Darwin, and right across the top end, here's Midnight Oil with a special for the USS George Washington.
U.S. forces, give the nod. We'll be right back.
Midnight Oil from the mighty 1098 album of about 1981, I believe, that neighbours of mine through the 80s had cause to ring the police about a number of times.
Because that was full bore.
It was flat out.
16-7 on Tales from the Tinny. Another text on punishment for boat thieves. Take the 1-999-1057 is the number. Take the thief to the zoo. Put him in the gorilla's cage with a gorilla that's recently consumed a bunch of Viagra-laced bananas.
Oh.
Genius or heinous? Asked our texter.
Well, genius.
Genius.
Pure. Three votes. Pure genius.
Pure genius.
And one funny walking.
and that's scared straight, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, dear. 6:45, Tales from the Tinny.
1-999-1057.
I'm Linda.
And I'm Maz.
We're at the Dyna Beach boat ramp, and Maz is a boating virgin, at least in our boat, and this is her first day out with us. And we're not going fishing, we're going to have breakfast.
Ah, breakfast. What's on the menu then?
Maz?
Lemon meringue pie.
And champagne.
Lemon meringue pie, that's a little bit upmarket, isn't it?
Maz baked it last night. So, yes, we don't know where we're going.
What?
We're just going out on the harbour somewhere. But we're not fishing this morning.
Now, I've just actually clapped eyes on that meringue that's on the menu. That is a sensational piece of work.
Specky. It's very specky.
This is seriously top shelf.
Lucky it's not banana pie, or else we would have had to stay at home.
Tales from the Tinny.
And this is our Captain Clive here.
Next time, things will be different. This is not the way I normally fish.
This is civilised.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Tales from the Tinny. On 105.7 ABC Darwin and 783 Alice Springs.
Poor old Clive, he was dobbed in as a regular Tinny listener, and I think he was seriously shame jobbed that I was down there talking to his missus and her friend who were having a serious little giggle fest with their champagne and lemon meringue pie.
Clive, it took me years. now, if you've got to just embrace it. If someone brings a delicious lemon meringue pie aboard with champers, all the better for you.
I'm those looking forward to seeing Clive in the shop.
Oh, you know Clive?
I know Clive.
Yeah.
Come on. Ronnie, what do you take out for Tucker?
It depends. If you go with the old man, then there's everything from aero bars, salada, smoked chicken, all the rest. Or if you go with the West boys, maybe a packet of barbecue shakes. Just days.
Well, of course, the Moor is famous for, you know, two slices of stale bread and a can of blue and white tuna. That's about top shelf.
I disturbed Morgan once because we went fishing at the Finnis, and on the way home I was starving. All we had left was a can of tuna. And whilst holding the tiller arm in the left hand at full noise getting home, I was digging my hand into the can of tuna and just force feeding it. Yeah, he said that the tuna oil all over the beard was quite a disturbing sight. So, and this is why. If someone brings a lemon meringue pie on, good on them.
I know, go the lemon meringue pie.
Over that.
But no fishing gear.
Oh dear, it's disturbing times, isn't it? Everything's very disturbing. It's an unsettled and cruel and terrible world out there at 7:12. So it's time we look for guidance. And where do we look for guidance? We look to Tales from the Tinny Enterprises.
Hey, fishos, it's a sick world out there, isn't it? There's swine flu, chook flu, Spanish flu, the global economy has the death rattle, and recently, the crew of the Tinny very nearly succumbed to a career-threatening bout of tropical pilchard flu. Seems you can't even lob out the door without some leprous lurgy latching onto you. So, as always, when a dire social need has arisen, Tales from the Tinny Enterprises sniffed an opportunity for crass commercial exploitation and rushed with unseemly mercenary haste to cash in on this perceived prophylactic vacuum to produce the Tales from the Tinny Mega Mullet Multivax. The egg-headed boffins in our bio-virology genetic modification department have been working round the clock and against the laws of nature and common decency, poking around in snot, pus, phlegm and egg yolks, cooking up weird mushrooms and scraping fungal samples from between their toes, blending the whole lot up into a horrible goop and then utilising our vast volunteer test menagerie of rats, rabbits, kittens, gerbils and those cute furry monkeys, putting it through an exhaustive efficacy assessment regime. Well, the animals were certainly exhausted after we shot them up with it, squirted it in their eyes, made them gargle it, and rubbed their cute furry little noses in it. And we did lose a big mob along the way, but science was the winner at the end of the day, and the Mega Mullet Multivax was born. The Tales from the Tinny Mega Mullet Multivax is your one-dose, lifelong, all-encompassing immuno-arsenal, protecting you from every variant of flu, streptococcus, typhoid, Ebola, cholera, dengue fever, malaria, dementia, jock rot, ingrown toenails, and the clap.
you'll be impervious to every disease presently known to modern medicine.
Fantastic!
The Tails from the Tinny Mega Mullet Multivax. You won't be laid low by a lurgy for life. And as a special offer, if you ring and place your order now on 1300-MULLET, that number again, 1300-MULLET, we'll include a bonus pack of anti-Mega Mullet Multivax. These little beauties temporarily negate the effects of the Mega Mullet Multivax, leaving you hacking and wheezing and seemingly on death's door for a tightly controlled 30-minute window. Perfect to pop just before you leave work, the day before you plan on having a sickie, or on the phone to the boss, and at the GP's chasing that elusive sick certificate. Isn't science great, fishos? The Tails from the Tinny Mega Mullet Multivax. It's just more must-have merchandise, brought to you by Tails from the Tinny Enterprises.
The Mega Mullet Multivax. Where do you get it? Where do you get it? You get it at Tails from the Tinny Enterprises.
Amongst all those diseases that it vaccinates you against, the patent for the jock rot is what's going to make us our millions.
That's right. Bugger the Ebola.
10 to 7 on Tails from the Tinny. Got an interesting email this week, boys. fishing@your.abc.net.au. The fella, Steve, was asking about the podcast, which hadn't worked for a couple of weeks. If you had the same problems, they're back to normal now.
That's because of the virulent tropical pestered flu that we were suffering from at the time.
Terminal mange. It just didn't happen. By the way, thanks for your two red T-shirts you sent me last year. I just received them after my father... Oh, just after I received them, my father in Invercargill in New Zealand became very ill, so I had to rush over there from Perth, where I live now. I wore your Get a Mullet Up Your Shirt into the hospital, and when I arrived, I was stopped by a couple of young nurses in the ward where my father was. He'd already told everyone that I was arriving from Oz, and they asked about the place name on the shirt, Rob. I said, it's a very nice spot to catch a good barramundi in the Northern Territory. One of the girls said, oh, I'm going to be working at the Katherine Hospital next year and I love fishing, so I'll go there. Where exactly is Get a Mullet Up Ya? I told her to ask anyone and they'll all tell you in Katherine where it is. She's written down the name. I'll expect she'll be in Katherine by now. I wonder if she's ever asked anyone to show her the way to Get a Mullet Up
Ya. How do I get to Get a Mullet Up Me?
Absolute now, there's a question. Gold, Steve.
Speaking of, like, Invercargill in New Zealand, I think that's also one of the diseases that the multivax actually protects you against.
If you're the said nurse tuned in this morning, sorry about that.
You've probably taken a pasting around the pubs of Katherine already.
We'd love to hear from you. Or if there's a nurse who's just arrived in Katherine who's asked you how to get a mullet up here, the hottest barramundi spot in the Northern Territory, can you please let us know? 1300 Mullet.
Ray from Alloa, good morning.
Morning, lads. How are we?
You've got some thoughts on the justice issue?
Well, you know that I'm not one to rant. You know that I'm not one that's really deadly passionate about things once I take up a course. But I do like, a la Roman style, the crucifixion. There's nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong with the Romans. A lot of our society's based on what Romans did then, and they weren't afraid to crucify. We're upgrading our ramps. What we need to do is line the road to the ramps with crosses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's a nice thing.
If people hanging on those crosses for a few weeks, that will certainly deter any mongrel that's going to go down there and break into any car or steal anything
We've had a few variations on the crucifix theme, but I'm liking that one.
Even
if the Romans wanted to kill them quickly, they'd break their legs so that they couldn't stand on a little platform thing.
You know, we don't want that.
I'm advocating cruelty, don't get me wrong. I don't want people to really suffer much.
And Ray, the genius about it is that any boat thieves going down there have got that constant disincentive of four or five thieves hanging up.
And you just imagine, just sitting up there with all the shags crapping on you. Oh, fantastic.
Correct. And you can throw things at them as you go past and all that sort of good stuff, you know, rubber pilchard into their face or something. And, you know, see you, lads. And of course, there's always a spare cross handy, just in case. Just in case. Anyway, and my favourite boat food.
This space could be you.
It could be, yeah. Never mind the meringue thing. My favourite food on a boat, quick, handy, easy. Camp pie, otherwise known as bully beef, Mike Hull's favourite.
Yeah.
Bully beef, saladas, and pickled onions.
Yeah, makes it easy. No rubbish. No
star catering.
Too easy.
No
too
prep
easy.
Time. On your Ray.
Cheers.
Ray from Alloa with his suggestion for how to punish crims. Not bad, Rob.
Not bad.
I do particularly like the crucifixion style. Tie someone in a crucifix pose to the boat trailer and then dunk them in and out of the boat ramp.
Now, I'm liking the banana work. Are we going to call
it? All right, yep, let's call the banana man.
Hang on, we've just got the word. We got the word from the other side of the glass. There's more texts.
I'm going for the banana. We go bait on a croc cruise at Adelaide River.
Yes, that's a nice one, yes.
That'd be good. So you're dangling them from the top of the Adelaide River Queen or whatever it is.
This works, first.
Yeah, that's right. This works into the spectator aspect of it as well. Mm. Like, we don't just want punishment and cruelty. You might as well get some societal good out of it so
tourism
people enjoy
in.
It.
Tourism top can get on that. Another spectator sport.
I reckon the winner's going to the person who texts us about the gorillas. Take the thief to the zoo, place him in the gorilla cage with a gorilla that's recently consumed a bunch of Viagra-laced bananas. Absolute genius. You can have a Tales from the Tinny Meter 20. You reckon that's fair, guy?
I reckon we can throw a T-shirt in for that as well.
Yeah, right. T-shirt and sticker coming your way, mate. Give us a call back on 1300 Mullet so we can get your details. Another text, too, on an issue we were talking about earlier with a guy who let off some flares at Buffalo. Person caught at Buffalo had all the safety gear. The concern was that at midnight it was quite cold, particularly with young children on board.
You sort of got the thought that if there had to be kids involved.
We were talking about setting off the EPIRB there at the mouth of Buff, where a lot of us have been caught. But yeah, when the whole family's there and it's nighttime, you just got to get in, don't you?
Yep.
Ronnie, firstly, Kakadu. What have you heard from the billabongs around that area?
I've had some good reports. The persons passing those reports didn't give any specifics. They're quite sneaky, but plenty of toga, some good barra, a lot of sight fishing. Fish are cruising on the surface. They got like good numbers of fish. I think something like 20 barra, a couple in the 70s.
Oh, so they were cruising, but they were obviously hitting a lure as well.
Some very good action. And
didn't say where though.
I think they fish around sort of the Kakadu, the South Alligator Crossing, some of those little billabongs up through there. Had a good report from Yellow Waters. Rob's sort of one of his favourite stomping grounds.
Yes.
8 or 9 good quality fish up to 70 centimetres, mainly casting as well.
When was that?
That would have been...
Recently?
Maybe over the weekend or early this week.
Mm. I hadn't heard much from there. We were out there and I saw Dino, who's the guide out there, and he just screamed, he recognised me, he just screamed out, good on you, mate, coming out here to fish on a full moon, which I took to mean... I was wasting my time.
Wasted your fuel.
But that's the thing, he says he can pull fish out of there when the water's down to 15 degrees, and I suspect he could pull fish out of a dust bowl.
Yeah.
But, have had some good reports from there, so and worth the trek.
Corroboree and Hardy's becoming any more consistent? People were hoping it would as the water levels dropped and we settled into the dry.
Yeah, well, I had Rowan Walker telling me that he's been fishing Corroboree and Hardy's, but he's just been doing the late arvos, 5:30 to 7:30, just throwing poppers. Shallow weed beds, again, getting out of the wind. I think Darren Hill noted on that, when the wind came up, the fish sort of died down. So the trick is just get out of the wind, and that was all casting, so rather than just sort of the standard jig trolling method.
Daily, mate. Any been caught there?
This week, the old boy was down there, and two rats, otherwise it was a donut for him. But, sort of a week and a half ago, some really good reports from around the rock bar, some guys trolling up, half a dozen or a dozen fish to... 80, Mark Junkfer, give me a good report, fishing a couple of the mouths, a couple of the creeks at night, just throwing fizzes actually back into the main channel, just jigging them, letting them sit. He got a 90, got pinged off by a couple of bigger fish. So now when Dad was there, he did say the fishing was, that was dead, but you could see plenty of fish on the sounder, very frustrating.
But the week before?
A week and a half ago was got the fella he went with was there a week and a half. He's a guy who talked Dad into going to the daily because... fishing was really good.
Well, that's good to hear, at least. So that was on, that would have been on bigger tides if it was a week and a half ago.
Yeah, that was on, sort of on the bigger tides. So as it neaped out, it just got a bit quiet.
We have the little black book for you too, Ronnie, to fill out for
Ronnie.
Coming in this morning. The little black book we will be auctioning
either
off.
Either fishing or honeymoon details there.
auctioning
or
off.
Honeymoon fishing details.
Honeymoon
probably
fishing,
more appropriate, yes.
We'll auction that off at the end of the year. Each of our co-hosts puts a special tip in there, so we'll be expecting a contribution. You got to fish every day on the honeymoon in the Cook Islands.
Yeah, blokes say when you get married, that's the end of your fishing. I actually fished more than I normally would. So, it was good, actually, just walking some flats, plenty of trevally, plenty of coral trout.
Do they get those bonefish over there?
Well, funny enough, the missus taking the piss out of me all week. Bonefish goes to the flats because they're hard to see, etc. It's not that. They just don't exist.
No good, Ronnie.
No good. The wind blowing, the flats that you could access on by foot, just a bit rough, so... the clarity wasn't too good, so.
On you for coming in and joining us, Ron.
No worries, boys. Great to see the tinny fully crewed again.
Yeah, almost there.
Ronnie, in full crime and punishment mode.
Ronnie Vukolos from Fishing and Outdoor World. Griff called through. Sorry we didn't get to you, Griff. We just ran out of time, but Griff had our final suggestion for the morning for punishment for boat thieves. You get a tree, you hang them upside down off a tree branch near the boat ramp, blindfolded and naked. Then fish hoes as they pass can use them as casting practice. Brilliant.
Yeah, I love
With barbed trebles.
I'm seriously calling for the reintroduction of keel hauling and crucifixion now. That's the business.
I think we've solved that one this morning. And thanks for your company on Tales from the Tinny.